Hell yeah. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Taz Talk, the show where we talk about the Adventure Zone podcast. Today, we are talking about Amnesty episode 14, where, first of all, my meteor theory got debunked from last episode. They definitely, yes. The meteor is something else. It was a big Pizza Hut sign that was going to fall and crush Mr. Tarkeesian's store.
Yeah, we have a lot of things to unpack with this episode.
Dude, for real.
Yeah. Do you want to start at the beginning, or is there anything you want to start with in particular?
Do you want to just fucking say, whoa, the shit with Aubrey and Ned remembering their connection?
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's interesting.
That's huge. So, I think when they were talking about their backstories, they mentioned that, like, all of the characters were related, but not all of them knew each other before all of this. Yeah. So, I think, from hearing what the setup kind of was, I have a feeling that, like, Aubrey and Ned, like, Travis and Clint must have talked about this before, but I think it was the thing that was a surprise is that Travis brought it up now. Like, I think that, like, Clint and Griffin were kind of like, oh, I guess this
is think
it.
So, yeah. I think they've definitely made some plans about their backstories. So there's kind of like a fusion improv.
Yes.
Written sort of thing, scripted sort of thing going on here. Yeah. I mean, so I guess that's the point. It's not scripted as in, like, there is a script that they are following, but it is, like, there is some established, like, backstory that they've discussed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fucking heavy. I mean, the thing about, like, Ned and Aubrey having this, like, connection, that's pretty wild, but mostly what I was kind of reeling from is just, like, Aubrey having that realization. That's a really awful weight to have to carry on you as a person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think at first when once I got the whole story, I think at first when she was, like, when Travis was describing her kind of, like, freak out, I was imagining something worse, like, maybe she definitely, because, like, it seems like she didn't realize this until, like, today.
Oh?
Or, like, in this episode, right? Don't you think? It seemed like...
No.
From the disagree.
I would disagree with that. Okay, well, first of all, let's identify. What specifically do you think she realized in that episode?
Well, because she was, when she was telling Mama, she said, Mama, I told you when we met that I'd never used magic before we met, but I think I remembered, I just realized that, like, I probably started the fire that killed my mom. So it seems like she didn't, like, she was just having this realization.
Mm.
Is that not how you read it?
No, well, that's not how I heard it. Well, I don't recall, she might have said, I realized, I guess, but, I mean, I took it that she, you know, she remembered, maybe starting a fire or, like, maybe doing something to cause it. Like, she was doing magic. She was going on the road with this persona, Lady Flame, so maybe she had a connection to think, maybe it was me. Maybe it was my fire that caused this fire. Because it started on the second floor, and she was on the second floor. So
yeah, but when she didn't know that she could do actual magic until the beginning of Amnesty.
So, yes. So the way, let me explain a little bit, I guess, how I read this scene.
Okay.
Because I think I get what you're saying in that she was surprised that the fire that killed her mom, she caused a fire with magic. I guess I read it when she did her fire and it backfired, like, quite literally. I took that as she was reacting because her, like, something to do with her doing a fire thing made something bad happen. So, okay, hold on a second. Let me break down, I guess, where my difference is.
Okay.
Her realization is that her mom died because of her magic fire. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I took it as, her and fire killed her mom, but I guess, I don't know how to explain it any better. I'm kind of hungover, so.
Oh, no. Dude, that was me all yesterday. It was a nightmare. So, yeah, that's, like, a big deal. It's the kind of thing that, like, I cannot imagine how it must feel to have killed a person, let alone accidentally killing somebody really close to you. So, like, that sucks, Aubrey, big time.
Yeah, I think Ned being conscious for it also. So yeah. we know that Ned was awake for all of that, and Ned knows that he, well, awake-ish for all of that. But I don't think Aubrey knows that Ned...
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So this is like, so while Aubrey is coming to terms with this knowledge, Ned is also sort of having his own realization about his role.
Yeah.
In this event.
Yeah. And which, like, when you think about how this is going to affect Ned, like, Ned kind of casts himself as the person who, when he gets involved, like, things tend to go kind of wrong, or, like, you know, he's going to have to be kind of scrappy to get himself out of situations that he always happens to find himself in. Like, this I think, just kind of contributes more to, like, we get kind of the feeling that Ned casts himself as someone who, should be isolated, or, like, should be on their own, I guess. Like, what I'm trying to describe is he is used to big gatherings for Christmas and holidays and things, but in his current state, he isn't necessarily trying to reach out and get close to, or, like, be with, like, he's part of this team, but he kind of, not reluctantly, I don't know, he's not, like, super into, like, he still seems kind of, like, disconnected or, like, distant, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, do you think part of his isolation is, like, self-imposed because he thinks, like, on some level that he is not good for people?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah, but I think that that's part of it, because now he realizes, oh, shit, this home invasion that went bad.
Yeah.
I affected this kid who I'm growing closer to. Like, this is another reason why I shouldn't grow close to people, is because I just fuck up their lives. Like, I kind of expect that kind of a character arc to develop, because that's the sort of vibe I'm getting from this character and the way they're playing it. I do kind of find it curious, though, that in his flashbacks and things, he remembered the invasion, he remembered, like, getting caught, he remembered driving away and something happening to his partner.
Yeah.
Did his partner get caught up in the flames? Like, he didn't actually, they never mentioned that he remembered fire.
I don't know what happened. I think we're still missing parts of the story.
Yeah. Like, I'm wondering if we're gonna get, like, another twist, that there was something else, that the home invasion, yes, there was a home invasion. But, like, what started the fire? Did Aubrey sleepwalk and start the fire? Did something supernatural, like, was someone trying to steal the Firebright pendant and start the fire? Like, was it really Aubrey? Like, that's the kind of twist I'm kind of hoping that we get somehow. I don't know how we're going to get it, but, like, I would love if there was, like, another twist, so that it wasn't Ned's fault or it wasn't Aubrey's fault, but it was something that brought them together inadvertently.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could happen. Like, basically something that would, now we have to, like, basically something that would exonerate the both of them.
Yes. Because I feel like...
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, personally, I think the story is more interesting if they, like, have this shared guilt. I don't know. I think it's, like, it's interesting for, I mean, even though it's, like, for Aubrey's sake, I don't want this to be the truth, but for the story's sake, I think it's, like, kind of a, just, like, an interesting topic to have to tackle.
Yeah.
Like, dealing with, accidentally done something really bad.
It is definitely more, like, spicy if they're both kind of guilty about it. But also, like, the way that we heard it from Ned's perspective, it wasn't, it wasn't to the same level of detail that we heard from, like, Aubrey's whole flashback of, this was my last night with my parents. Like, It seemed like there were parts missing. Like, have you ever seen The Last Jedi?
Yes.
And remember how we get Kylo Ren in his, like, last night at the Jedi Academy? How we get, like, different perspectives of what happened that night? Like, this is kind of like that. Where
That's true, yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That might be, interesting. Yeah, maybe we'll get some more information later.
I hope so, because they're going to... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, my next... No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, they're going to have to reconcile, like, this. Because Ned knows this about Aubrey, and I wonder if they're going to let it sit, or if he's going to just like, I want to see how it comes to a head. Like, you bring it up, especially that he secretly now knows about it, because it's going to come up again later. So I kind of hope that they resolve it sooner rather than later, mostly because I just want to see how they're going to resolve it.
I'm betting that, like, given Ned's what I know of Ned's personality, I think he's going to not want to talk. I don't think he's going to, like, wake up and confront Aubrey. I think he's going to be like, oh, shit, I'm culpable in this. I'm going to hide it because I don't want anyone to know, like, my role in this event.
Yeah.
So that's my guess.
That being said, what's Griffin going to do to drag it out into light so that they have to address it? Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, so do we know anything about Aubrey's current relationship with her father?
No, other than she doesn't want to go back home, and I don't think she keeps contact with him.
Yeah.
I don't remember if in previous episodes she addressed her parents as her parents, or if she addressed her family as, like, my dad only. Because it wasn't until this episode that I even realized her mom was dead. But it could it could have just been a detail that we glossed over. But
yeah. I don't remember if, like, we knew that and just forgot about it. Because I'm wondering, there's a lot of pieces here, because I'm wondering if does her dad know that she has powers? And is it because she, like, displayed them at a young age, but maybe she doesn't remember? Or is there some, like, family history? If, like, the Flamebright pendant was her mom's, right?
Yeah.
So is this, like, a family thing? Do other people in the family have fire powers?
Well, so, and that's the thing, kind of. From what I understand, Aubrey was telling Mama that story of what happened the night that she left. Did she mention that there was a fire? Because I kind of feel like if you have these new emerging fire powers and someone is asking you, have you ever had any experience with this before? Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like she would have volunteered that kind of information sooner, which is why
if she'd ever thought about it before.
If someone says, has anything significant happened in your life that happened with fire before? Because you apparently have an affinity for fire right now. Wouldn't you have mentioned, there was a fire when I was leaving and my mom died? Like, I think that's why in my head it was kind of something that she was, I guess, hiding to some degree. Which is why, like, it wasn't a realization, but more of like a, I'm going to share this with you now because that's what happens. Like, that's why, like, that's what happens when my magic, that's why I need to control my magic, you know? I guess the way I interpreted it was that it wasn't her coming to a realization, it was her sharing a thing that she knew about her powers with Mama. But I think I might have also just taken that scenario differently. It's more juicy if it is a realization, because then it's not her hiding something, it's her, like, learning something about herself. But also, if it is, like, a thing that she knew that she's now sharing with Mama, that's also kind of interesting because, like, it makes her character something that she is hiding and that she has to, like, that she's, you know, guilt that she's carrying with her. Whether it's new guilt or old guilt, it's juicy either way.
I'm glad it was new guilt. I think it's new guilt again. Sure. And I'm glad it is, because, like, at first the feeling I had was just like, oh god, has she been, like, living with this whole time? It was just, like, really painful to imagine. Although, like, Chelsea, do you remember in the beginning of Amnesty where she, like, discovered she had powers and Mama was telling her, like, you did real magic, and she's going like, what, no I didn't? And then, like, when she finally, like, gets convinced that she can make fire with her hands, she's like, holy fuck, I have fire powers. And she was, like, super surprised about it.
If she was, like, trying to hide something out of guilt, I don't think she would be so keen to try to use fire in all instances. Like,
no, she, yeah, I don't yeah. think I don't think she knew. Like, it was a surprise to her that she had fire powers in the beginning of Amnesty.
Yeah. Man, but how, I don't even know how to describe this, but how odd, sad is it that she, having your fire, like, having a fire ravage your home and having a parent die in a fire and then deciding to call yourself Lady Flame and then deciding to do a magic trick.
Oh, fuck, that is really sad. Right? Oh, my, like, God.
That is.
Oh, I didn't even make that. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
That's like masochistic at that point.
Maybe it's like a Batman thing.
Maybe.
Like,
I guess.
Like, Bruce Wayne was afraid of bats, yeah. So he made himself, like, you know, like, to conquer his fear, he became the Batman.
Yeah. But also, and I'm just going to keep going on this.
Go for it.
But Aubrey, like, to have her home ravaged by fire, her mom die in a fire, and then she still left the next day. Like, she didn't linger for the police report. She didn't linger for the mom's funeral. She didn't linger to talk to her dad. And even
that's wild.
Yeah, even though they had differences, they still kind of described their relationship as, like, he's my dad, but
yep.
I have to set out on my own. She didn't, like, hate him, and it didn't sound like he hated her exactly. So she still left the next day, which is why I'm leaning on maybe she kind of knew. Sort of, maybe, or something. I don't know. It's
also possible. Yeah, it's possible that, like, this is a memory that she had repressed. Yeah. And so, like, if she used fire, because she says she just, like, blacks out or, like, doesn't remember what happened. So if she had used fire powers and then, like, starts the fire that kills her mom, mm-hmm. like, it is believable to me that she would just, like, you know, it's easy to say, like, that's impossible. That's not what happened. And, like, you know, people repress memories, I guess. Like, this is one of those things where it's, like, kind of like Freudian territory where there's, like, a kind of weird, like, history of the idea of repressed memories. I think they're a real thing, right?
I really do think that they are. Like, people can condition themselves to not, like, willfully ignore that parts of their lives, but then when something comes along that brings it up, it can hit them in such a manner that they can faint or, like, have that reaction.
Maybe this makes sense, actually. So maybe she, like, something happened and if she had known that she had, like, fire powers already, mm-hmm. then she would have been like, shit, I did this. And maybe, like, that idea was, like, too difficult for her to deal with, so she just, like, totally repressed it. And then later, it was, like, a revelation to her to discover she had fire powers, even mm-hmm. though, like, maybe she did have, like, some kind of memory of making something happen in this, like, really traumatic event.
But this is why I think they need to revisit this whole situation from, like, a third perspective, because mm-hmm. I think we're definitely missing gaps. We're missing what actually started the fire, what actually happened to that related Ned to this situation. Like, did he also see the fire? Was he stealing the flame pendant? Like, we need more.
Yeah, that's true. He has the flame bright pendant, right?
No, I thought Aubrey did.
No, because when she told Mama that, like, there used to be a flame bright pendant, but either it was lost or stolen. Aubrey doesn't have it, definitely.
Oh, but she doesn't?
No, she doesn't have it. I thought there was a scene when they were in the Necronomica. No, is that the name of it?
Yeah, I think it is. When they're about to get Beacon, and it's, like, sitting next to the Olympic gold medal from Michael Phelps or something.
Yeah, that scene or another scene, but I thought there was a scene where they, like, Griffin kind of, like, briefly says, oh, there's a pendant. And I kind of assumed that was, like, a Chekhov's gun, like, oh, that's the flame bright pendant.
Yeah, no, I'd buy that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is wild if Ned stole that pendant and then Aubrey has been, like, helping out set up Night of the Living Dead all this time, and that her family heirloom is just hidden in the basement.
I know. Isn't that wild? I'm kind of suspecting that's what's going on here.
Yeah. That is wild. Okay, and so this brings me to another thing about Amnesty, is that they are building so much detail and so much, like, rich world building, which is great, mm-hmm. but there are so many details that even though
it's kind of harder to keep track,
it's so hard to keep track because now there's just so many things. But it's fun.
There's definitely a sense that, like, even events, and, you know, I could be doing more to really understand what's going on.
Yeah.
I could do a couple more thorough listens. Yeah. I mean, you know, I take notes when I listen. I, like, pay close attention. But there's definitely some things where, like, I listened to this episode, like, well, maybe it was on Friday. But then, it was like 2 days ago I listened to this. And there's still stuff that, like, you know, we're having this argument about, like, no, it went like this, blah, blah, blah. It's like some of the stuff is, like, hard to keep track of.
It's hard to keep track of. I think the delivery
can be a little confusing.
There we go.
Or maybe I might be making excuses. Maybe I'm trying to blame me not knowing what happened on Griffin, on the boys. But
I don't think it's the boys' fault or anything. I think it's just part of the nature of we're listening to a podcast. Learning about information from only using one of our senses, which is listening to it. If we were watching a TV show, we would also have the helpful guide of being able to visually see, is there actually a pendant there? You know, like we're really relying on Griffin's narrative, which is one fantastic, but it's the only thing. And when we're also relying on the boys like improv, it's a lot for one sense to keep track of, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. And it's not because, something like, that we do all the time.
Yeah. When you have a script, you write a script ahead of time and you get to say like, oh, this is something I really want the audience to understand, so I'm going to deliver it in this way and I'm going to pay like this amount of attention to it and I'm going to make it clear by doing this and this and this. Mm-hmm. And like even to some extent in Balance where like I think it feels like an Amnesty, they're actually like the narrative burden is shared a little more. Mm-hmm. And in Balance, it was like Griffin was really in charge of what was going on and then like the boys would react to things.
Yes.
And like Griffin was the one revealing the twists, you know, exclusively. And so I think even in that sense, he had a lot of scripted stuff that he would deliver too, that he had written for like NPCs or for himself as the narrator. And he could really control like how information like this was delivered. I think them kind of like vaguely knowing each other's story and then working together to improv delivering twists, I think it's just like, yeah, by its nature going to be more difficult to like make things clear.
Yeah.
It's so, yeah, fun, it's though. Interesting. It is fun, definitely.
We're going to rely on that wiki, the Adventure Zone wiki, like,
I know.
More so than you. Like, Jake Kulice's page, it needs to be updated by episode because his superpowers, he's just so magical. So can we move on to Jake Kulice just because I have like a couple notes on him?
Yeah, go for it.
So we know that he's really good with snow to the point that we thought maybe he was an elemental, but also he's like speed reading champion. He reads.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He reads the phone book super quick.
Yeah, that was funny. It's one of those things where it's like, I can't tell if this is like a joke because this is a comedy podcast, or is this now canonically Jake Kulice? Is he like fucking like number five in Short Circuit, like going through the book really, really fast and just like, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
I haven't.
Oh man, it's a cute movie that I grew up on and watched again recently, and there's some stuff in it that's a little problematic, but I still enjoyed it, and that's kind of like the point where I'm at rewatching anything from my childhood.
Yeah, I think that's a valid mentality to keep.
Anyway, I had a question about something. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about how Danimal died.
Sure. Oh, I was not expecting that, but go ahead.
Because I was thinking about something. Yeah. And so, like, the Gatorade bottle got under the brake pedal. Uh-huh. And it was kind of like, they kind of decided, oh, that's, like, a natural way for a car accident to happen. Uh-huh. So, like, nothing supernatural happened here. My question is, he would have had to have some reason to brake the car suddenly, yep. right? Like, yep. if he's driving down a road,
yep.
like, normally you would just be driving. So, yeah.
I just had a thought, but you finish your thought, because I'm wondering if we're going to end up at the same place. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I was thinking was that, like, okay, so nothing, like, attacked the car. That's clear. But what I'm guessing happened is, like, something got in the road.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the hoof creepy man.
Mm-hmm.
Something got in the road. He tried to brake to not hit it. Mm-hmm. Couldn't brake, mm-hmm. so he swerved. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. how the car got off the road and he died.
Yup. You want to know what I read on the internet? Because I actually looked things up before this episode.
What did you read on the internet?
So at the end of the episode, we find out who the mysterious caller is, and it's someone by the name of Indrid Cold. So
yes.
I googled Indrid Cold, and he's also known as the Grinning Man. He's an alien that has been spotted in New Jersey and West Virginia who may or may not just be trying to learn about humans. Like, he's got some he's got some vague relation to the Men in Black. He's also got some vague association with the Mothman. So the Mothman is described as like an owl guy with wings. Like, have you ever seen like a great horned owl? And if someone ever like lifted up all of the feathers, that they have these long ass chicken legs. Like, if you were to get like a chicken's, like, you know how chickens have a thigh and like, you know, like the chicken.
Yeah, I know. Chicken
if you
leg,
like
I gotcha.
Stretch out that chicken leg, that is like
that's
an owl.
Funny.
It's like a long ass chicken leg. But
dude, so many people fucking love the Mothman.
I know. That's why I was like, I need more information about the Mothman, which is why I looked him up. So he is typically not the same entity as Indrid Cold, but I guess they're related somehow, maybe geographically.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know what?
Oh,
his,
that's super fun.
You know what his favorite activity is?
What?
Chasing cars. So
oh shit.
The Mothman loves to chase cars. Sometimes he'll land on the hood and he'll like a plate like crash onto the roof or like jump out in front of cars, and like he loves to chase cars, I guess. That was in his Wikipedia page.
Oh man.
So if something was in the road and Danimal had to brake real fast but he couldn't because the Gatorade bottle was there. You know, in the beginning of the episode, they mentioned, oh, the Gatorade bottle. There was a Gatorade bottle under the pedal. There wasn't anything in the episode that I was like, they didn't talk about Gatorade, they didn't talk about Dan, they didn't talk about a car or anything. But they did mention Indrid Cold, and he is kind of related to the Mothman. But I guess in the Adventure Zone, he introduced himself as the Mothman, which is interesting.
Yeah, Griffin has essentially combined these two cryptids into a single character, which is funny and hilarious. What's really weird about what you just said, good research, Chelsea, this is fascinating, because if we're not off base here, and if the Mothman caused this accident, that means the accident wasn't related to the bomb at all.
So that
this is getting complicated, man.
Right? Because now I'm not sure who the bomb is.
I know, this is a weird one. Because, like, again, the Hoofman has some key differences from our two previous abominations that I'm, like, kind of hung up on.
Yeah. In that he was carrying things and that he's humanoid.
Wearing clothes. Yeah. Very strange.
Yeah. And he was carrying bags.
Yeah.
So in the established things that we've listened to, the snow, like, the abnormal snow patterns come along with the tall man, who might be Mothman. Because I don't know that the Mothman has any affiliation with, like, winter time in particular. Like, there's a Mothman festival in West Virginia, and it happens in September. Like, I don't think he's particularly associated with
people
snow.
Fucking love Mothman. I really, I don't know how Griffin, I hope we get to see moth form, and I hope he's basically just a giant moth, because I think people will fucking love that, because people love moths.
They do love moths. Although,
because they're very cute, like, I don't blame them.
The cryptid Wikipedia says that he, like, isn't really a moth, and either
he's
a
more
demon,
like owl.
Yeah, he's either, like, a demon man or, like, an owl demon man.
Why is he called the Mothman, then?
I don't know. Appalachia. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to read the Wikipedia some more. I was just kind of skimming it. And that his favorite activity is chasing cars thing is wild.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of... I have a new hunch. I kind of don't think it's Yetis anymore. I kind of don't think it's 12 Yetis in a trench coat. My new thing is that the Mothman is maybe trying to chase down whatever this bomb is. Like, maybe this bomb is a really, like, small snow creature. Mm-hmm. And that's why they keep being found in the same place, is because the Mothman is, like, trying to catch it, I guess?
Okay, I have a question then to clarify. Are you suggesting that the Mothman, are you suggesting the hoof person is not the abomination?
Yes. I think the hoof person is Mothman.
Oh, you think? Oh,
I think the hoof person is Mothman, and I also think that, what are they gonna say? That they keep being associated with the abnormal snow and winter weather patterns, because they're trying to find whatever is, like, causing the winter snowy patterns. Like, I don't think they're same, but I think that Mothman is trying to catch the thing that makes the snow happen.
But what did you find out about Indrid Cold? Because that sounds like that's a cold, winter-sounding name.
Does
that person not have any snow association?
Not really. He's just known as the Grinning Man.
And that's fucking creepy. Jesus.
Yeah, his picture on the internet's really creepy. But they just, like, his only identifying features is that he wears, like, a metallic suit with, like, a metallic belt. And that he smiles. And that he, I guess, chases people. But then whenever people describe their, like, encounters with him, they're just like, oh, he just wants to learn about humans.
That's
so
funny. It's one of the things that's so weird about Amnesty and is kind of funny is that, like, the tone of this show is, like, you know, all the monsters are good guys. And it's like, there's some spooky parts in the show, but it's definitely got this kind of, like, more, like, playful kind of tone to it.
Yeah.
You look up anything about any of these cryptids actually, and it's horrifying. Like in the first episode, or when we met Vincent, I was like, oh, the goat man. And I looked up the goat man and I read this like creepypasta about the goat man that was like, fuck me up. I'm like done with Vincent the goat because fuck that guy.
Yeah.
It's just like a really weird, like, I think the tonal difference in a lot of cases from Amnesty and the source material is like really really interesting.
It's delightful. I find it delightful. But if the trench coat man is the Mothman, is Indrid Cold, is the guy that called him on the payphone?
Yeah.
How did he get back home to call the payphone? Because the whole like payphone thing, it happened right after they saw the trench coat guy, right?
Yeah. Be fair, I'm not discounting your theory, but it's not my primary theory because it would involve giving the Mothman hooves, and because of this chronological problem where they saw the trench coat man.
Yeah.
They saw Hoofman Krampus.
Yeah.
Right before they got the phone call from the trailer park.
But then how did the Mothman know about it? Like how could he see them? Is it from his trailer park like elevated above?
Oh, how did he know about the Pizza Hut? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's another part. Well, because like when he was talking on when he was talking to them when they were in the hospital room, didn't he also like seem to know more information than he should have?
Yeah, how did he know all of their names? Like how?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of was thinking like, is this some kind of like seer character that has?
Well, maybe.
But I don't know. Yeah,
maybe that's why it's Indrid Cold, because like Indrid Cold's whole thing is that he's trying to learn about things. So maybe
he's got fucking a deep network of cameras set up all
maybe,
over Kepler.
Maybe. Yeah, it's interesting. So as much as we solved one mystery, which is that we know who called, it opened up a whole new can of worms to go along with all of our other cans of worms. In that,
yeah, damn.
Who is this person cryptid thing? It's wild.
Yeah, I'm confused. It's kind of wild. I don't know whether we're going to find out that Krampus is the abomination or whether there are like three separate figures here, like Mothman, Hoofman, and then like the actual abomination. I'm still confused by the little pits in the snow. I don't think they're footprints. They might be, but I think it's supposed to be something else. Yeah. I don't know what.
Like, I kind of feel like this episode, chronologically, like, nothing, like, time, not a whole lot of time passed. We got a lot of information, and, like, a lot of action happened, but I still, I'm like, I need more. Like, I don't think that the episodes have been any shorter than usual. I think the boys have been pretty good about keeping it to about an hour with, like, a 10-minute ad break. But I also feel like, didn't the other episodes have, like, an hour and a half? Don't other, like, RPG adventure podcasts have an hour and a half? Like,
fucking Critical Role, like, they have like three hour episodes.
Yeah, like I need more, and it's frustrating. It's not frustrating to the point that I'm like holding it against them. It's frustrating because I want more.
Like, yeah, well, we both also binged listened to Taz Balance.
I'm used to having content available immediately, so we just need more information.
Yeah. I loved all the action scene was really funny. I loved when Duck was trapped with Leo and him and Ned were like yelling to each other through the wall. There's something really like fun and cute about that, even though they were like dying, obviously. Yeah. Ned using the Fly Master was hilarious.
Oh my god, yeah.
He was really was really good during that scene.
He was so let's think about what our human bodies can physically do.
Yeah. I love when Duck was trying to explain to, like, the police or whoever what had happened.
Oh, my God, yes.
This is, like, something... Duck has done this before, right? Where he's, like, trying to lie and just fucking cracks and does a horrible job. That is such a funny, endearing character trait. I love it. Good job, Justin.
Yeah,
that's always hilarious. That's the thing that I love about Duck is that, like... Mm-hmm. One of the things I love about Duck is that he seems like his kind of surface characteristic is, like, a chill dude, kind of like mild-mannered chill dude, but then he has a lot of like I think qualities where he's like not good under pressure sometimes, and it's really funny.
Oh yeah, like the how bad he is with lying and things.
Yeah,
I just had a passing thought that, man, if you equate a situation where you have to lie, being act under pressure, he essentially gives himself like a negative two on any like of these kind of roles. Like he's not actually, but if he were, that's what would be happening, is that he would just be so bad. It's like he's acting with a negative two on these kind of actions.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, yeah, it's like obviously a character choice and it's super endearing.
Yeah. Man, these characters have really good health insurance.
I know, fuck, yeah. Like, that was, yeah, that was wild.
Because they're living in a fantasy world.
Uh-huh. And I love the part where Aubrey was trying to talk to Mama and, like, trying to reveal this, like, this information in the hospital, and Justin was like, should I take my headphones out? And then they were like all yelling at each other. That was so fucking hysterical.
That was.
But this is a funny episode.
It was good. Yeah, right? Like, there was so much that happened. It was like, chronologically speaking, it was only maybe like 12 hours worth of time in game, or like in the story, but we learned so much, and so much happened.
It was a wild ride. Oh, and Griffin also, again, nailing it with the commercial, like, transition music. I really liked it in this episode.
Yes, I was hoping you were going to mention it.
Yep. Make it work, Griff.
Mr. Tarkeesian.
Yes.
I found it, like, when I heard that he was about to die and things, I was like, oh, cool, they're bringing in this character that started kind of off as a joke that they're really including more in. His mysterious conversation at the end when Duck was like, you sound really sad for someone who's just waiting on a check, you know. But then he was like, I think that when you have a calling, you ought not to ignore that calling.
What did you think about that?
I just wanted to bring it down to the forefront, because Mr. Tarkeesian, it seems to know, like, everything that he says about Duck and what Duck is doing makes it seem like he knows that Duck is supposed to be a protagonist. He's supposed to be a hero. Like, when he says, Kepler, like, I don't know what Kepler would do without you, Duck Newton. Like, that is it's a loaded statement.
Because, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like, he definitely knows something that's going on.
You know, at first I was gonna argue with that idea, but now I'm remembering, was there something in the episode where at the end Duck, like, Mr. Tarkeesian delivered some groceries to Duck and they end up talking in the hallway in their building? Yeah. And I vaguely, I don't know if I'm making this up, but I kind of vaguely remember, did he say something that was like, whoa, what's this guy's story?
Yep. So
I don't remember what it was.
It was like kind of like an in-between episode, or maybe like a winding down episode.
Oh, like an interlunar interlude?
Something kind of like that, before they started formally doing lunar interludes.
Okay.
But Duck had a scene with, Glowy Lady.
Is it Moira?
No, Glowy Lady.
Oh, Danny?
No, Glowy Lady.
I don't know who Glowy Lady is.
She comes out of the ether and is like, Duck Newton, and is like,
oh, Minerva.
Minerva. We haven't seen Minerva.
Okay.
We haven't seen Minerva for like a quick minute.
I know.
But he, like, has those scenes with Minerva where he's, like, training and trying to spar with her to, like, train his body up. And Mr. Tarkeesian is like, you know, I see you in the yard doing that kind of stuff. And then Duck's like, oh, yeah, you know, LARPing, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, CrossFit or something. And he's like, yeah, you know, keep your arms up or something. Like, he's trying to
That's right, he knew like some sword shit apparently.
Yeah. So like, there's definitely something going on with Mr. Tarkeesian.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like, I kind of wish
that
like someone would bring up to Mama and be like, hey Mama, like, who's this guy? Like,
the way you might be onto something here. The way I interpreted that, like, specifically in this episode where he's like saying like, oh, once you find your calling, you should stick with it. I thought that was more of like Griffin doing like a dramatic irony, kind of like using this character to like say something meaningful about Duck.
Yeah,
but I didn't, maybe Mr. Tarkeesian was saying intentionally to Duck as something.
Yeah, if it was one time, I would consider that a coincidence, but because it's two times, now it's a pattern.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty mysterious.
Yeah.
What's up with you, Mr. Tarkeesian?
Yeah. So that's the thing. One more episode, like, five more new mysteries.
I know, it's wild. I also like that Justin made a Bond engine joke. At least I think he did. You caught that too, right?
Well, so I didn't think of it as Bond Engine. Like, you're thinking Bond Engine like Balance, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking Social Bond, like Social Link, like Persona. Because have you ever played a Persona game?
Nope.
In Persona, it's really cool because you're not only, like, dungeon crawling, but during the day while you're a student, you also build social links. Like, you
Yeah, meet... I am aware of that, like, mechanic generally. Maybe not by name, but...
Yeah, so that's what happens, is after you have these meaningful conversations, if you do it right, you improve your social link. So if you get closer to a person, you get stronger in battle. So that's...
Okay.
That's what I think. They didn't... I don't think they said social link, so I don't know if they were, like, relating it to Persona. But I think, like, still, the idea of using the power of a bond that you formed with someone as, like, you know, something to improve your overall game strategy, that's, I love that.
Well, what Griffin, so Griffin, when he was saying, like, now you and Leo have a bond, then Justin said, like, oh, can't wait to summon him.
Yeah,
and
okay,
I thought, I thought that was a bond into joke, but I might have been, like, reading too much into it.
No, well... I didn't actually think about that. I think that's super interesting. Like, like, you mean, like, at the last episode of the finale?
Yeah. When they could, like, summon people from, you know, that they, like, from their past or whatever.
Yeah. I figured it was video games, but that makes a lot more sense.
I don't know. I mean, like, for me, it's just, like, I'm so thirsty for Justin acknowledging any acknowledgement of how much he, like, enjoys the balance arc and, like, you know.
Do you have anything else? Because I think that was all of my things for this episode.
That's all I wanted to talk about from my notes. I do have an announcement a listener question.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I'm really excited to talk about this because it made me think about some things again. Mm-hmm. But Tumblr user Giraffe Skull asked us, cool, what do y'all think of... Yeah, it is cool. I wonder what giraffe skulls look like now, actually. I don't think I've ever seen one.
Let's Google it later.
Okay. What do y'all think of Barclay having that orange crystal out in the woods when he first met Ned? Mm. It defo sounds like the heart of Sylvain, but what was he doing with it out there? Can they use it to detect bomb-bombs? So I went back and re-listened to this part of... It was in episode 2, I think, of, like, the original Amnesty pilot. And, Chelsea, when I read this question to you a couple days ago, we were both wondering, if, like, wasn't the crystal his just, like... like Sylvain clothes that he wears to keep him transformed, but it's not. The crystal is something different.
Ooh.
When he transformed back into a Bigfoot, he pulls like a hempen bracelet off of his wrist.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So the Griffin describes it as like when Barclay first appears, he's walking with intent and he's holding his arm out and he's holding out a chain with a little orange glowing crystal dangling from it. Ooh. Or I don't remember if it was glowing, but it was definitely orange.
Yeah.
And the Giraffe Skull is right about this. The heart of Sylvain is a giant orange crystal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This, like, it does seem like he had a piece of the heart of Sylvain. I don't know what he was doing with it. Obviously doing some kind of dowsing, I would guess.
It seems so. It's another mystery that we brought up, and then it never gets... Well, so far, it hasn't been acknowledged again. Because if it is something that's being used to find bomb-bombs... That's a very useful tool. Why don't they use it more often?
It also makes it a lot. Maybe Griffin for I don't know. Yeah, it makes well because Barclay hasn't been. I feel like now it's the three main like the player characters who are doing the searching instead of Barclay. But that would make a lot of sense because he was out there where the creature was or one of the creatures.
That's true.
He wasn't too far off. Yeah, it makes sense to me that the crystal might resonate with Sylvanians. Well, no, again, so here's the question again, mm-hmm. is how are the abominations related to Sylvain?
Yeah,
you have a theory that they are not Sylvanians but there's another word for this, that they're not sylphs, they are somehow like creatures from somewhere else that get pulled in when the gate opens, which I like that theory because I think it's really cool and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But also I have a theory that the abominations are sylphs that have gone feral,
mm-hmm.
which is something that has been referred, like going feral is something that has been referred to, but not like addressed directly yet.
Yeah.
So if the abominations are sylphs or they used to be sylphs or whatever, it would make sense that maybe you could use the Heart of Sylvain somehow to like locate
them. Lure them out.
Yeah. Or maybe even that, actually, that's another thing that could be going on.
Yeah. But I mean, I would imagine that if it was this tool or like this magical thing of Sylvain, that Barclay would have been more forthcoming with, hey, I have this thing, like, you don't have to go searching for it, you can just use this to help locate it or something.
Like maybe when... only he can use it. Maybe if the... Well, fuck. Okay, so maybe, like, Ned and Duck couldn't use it because they're just humans. Sure. But if Aubrey feels somehow drawn to the crystal, uh-huh. maybe she could fucking use... Like, we still don't know what her relationship is with the crystal yeah. or magic yeah. or why she feels like she wants to touch it so bad.
Yeah, you know, and maybe that's why Barclay, like, doesn't want to share it because he's like, well, these humans, they're just going to
yeah,
fuck
maybe
up
he
this
doesn't
crystal.
Think it would... Yeah, maybe yeah. he thinks it wouldn't work with them. Oh, this is so interesting. And it also... So the other thing is the crystal is broken, right? Mm-hmm. The Heart of Sylvain. That's something that's stuck. Yeah, so... Barclay, if this is a piece, really great question. Again, Giraffe Skull, thanks a lot for this.
Thank you.
If he has a piece of the crystal and the crystal was broken, mm-hmm. I don't really have like a clear theory here. It's more of just, again, this question of why can't they go back to Sylvain, everyone in the Amnesty Lodge? And again, the definition of amnesty is an official pardon for people who have been convicted of political offenses.
Yeah.
So there's like definitely, I guess my theory maybe is that like, I think the people, the sylphs that are on Earth are some kind of like expats. They're like, yeah. there was some kind of political reason that they can't go back to Sylvain.
Yeah.
And so does this have, I don't know, I'm just kind of like spitballing here, but does this have anything to do with when the crystal was broken? Like, was there some kind of like, a civil war? I don't know. I have a lot of questions about this and yeah. kind of like the history.
I know. I need to know more about the world of Sylvain because yeah. I don't understand their relationships yet.
Yeah. It's really weird.
I do think that, you know, Barclay walking around with the crystal, that's going to be a sound clip that we're going to hear in the future, like before an episode.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. I could definitely see that. Thank you again, Giraffe Skull. I fucking forgot about that. And dude, like, yeah. now that I'm thinking about it, this is like an important piece of information.
It is. It's another one of those things where there are so many details in this great narrative that yeah. we have a really hard time keeping track of it all because there's just so much of it. So
yep.
thank you again, Giraffe Skull, for yeah, bringing this great. To our attention. Yeah.
So, yeah.
The question was, yeah, what's up with that? And our answer was, we don't know.
We don't know. Oh, man. Yeah, that's really interesting. So that's our listener question, and I also have an announcement to make. Oh. I finally figured out how to fucking put the show on iTunes.
Holy
so
shit.
If you've got like the podcast app, you can subscribe to and download Taz Talk through the podcast app or iTunes.
Oh my god. So, wait, so can we actually say like, rate, and subscribe and like actually mean it? Is there
We can
what?
Say that.
Wait, really?
No, we can't, right? Like, I sent you the link. It is actually up in, like, the iTunes database.
Oh,
you can,
God.
Like, download it.
Oh, that's wild. Oh, my God.
We're big time now, Chelsea.
Holy crap. You have to think of your entire closing, because I think right now I'm going to say, well, Rach, how can people find us?
Well, you can look us up on the iTunes podcast store. I don't know what it's called. That's the other thing is, like, I don't know how to refer to this.
People usually just say, look us up on iTunes.
Yeah, look us up on iTunes. You can also send us an email at taztalkpodcast@gmail.com, or you can do the other thing. Find us on Tumblr at taztalk.tumblr.com.
Find us on Tumblr and send us questions like Giraffe Skull did, or you can also tweet at us on Twitter. We are at taztalkpodcast.
Cool. So, yeah.
I guess that's it.
That's it for this episode.
I need more.
Whew, lots of stuff going on, man. I have a lot of questions about so many things.
I do too.
It's very exciting.
It is.
And yeah, I guess that's it. Talk to you guys next week. Chelsea?
Next week?
No. You all talk to sooner than that. Next week? You're right. That doesn't make sense.
I wish it was next week. Can we go back to weekly
No. yeah, okay. So that's it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.